let's talk about solutions, specifically solutions to the problems we're running into entertaining ourselves at home.
There's a lot to watch and read and hear, but there's also a lot that we're missing, stuff like live sports and concerts and spending nights out with friends. And we've got some ideas about how to fill those voids. I'm Stephen Thompson.
And I'm Linda Holmes. We're talking about making up for lost entertainment on this episode of Pop Culture Happy Hour from NPR. Here with me and Stephen is Glenn Weldon of the NPR Arts Desk. Hi, Glenn.
Hey, Linda.
We are all still, of course, in our respective homes, and that's one of the things we want to talk about. We figured, even though we have found a lot of things to recommend, a lot of binge watches and stuff like that, short, long, whatever, there are still certain things that we specifically find ourselves missing, and we decided we would come up with some ways to try to solve those problems. Glenn, what is the first problem that you decided to try to solve?
You know, I am on record on this very podcast longing for the day when movie theaters would be a thing of the past. I think I recall myself saying that I wanted a day like I could be a pasha and just clap my hands and summon, you know, nut meats and pheasant and mannequin 2 on the move. You know, and that day has arrived, and I hate it. I miss everything about movie theaters now. I miss the smell of stale popcorn. I miss sticky floors. I miss jerks on their phones. I miss those depressing black shiny polyester suits that ushers wear with their little vests. I miss the old ladies behind
me. The little flashlights.
Yeah, I just miss it all. So what I'm craving, I realize now, is just a collective communal experience. I can remember going to see 20 Feet from Stardom. It's a great documentary at the AFI Theater. And you can still watch it, and it's still a great movie if you watch it at home. But when those lights came up, every one of us in that theater was just beaming. We just loved what we had seen, and we had seen it together.
By the way, 20 feet from stardom is an appropriate distance at this point.
It's an appropriate distance. It's at least 6 feet from stardom, no less than 6 feet from stardom. What I did on Sunday afternoon was created a virtual version of that. I called my friends who I'd gone to see The Two Towers with, the Lord of the Rings film, back in 2002, 18 years ago now, and we watched it virtually together. It was great because we were like those old ladies behind me bickering in the theater. And, you know, we got into a long, rather heated discussion about trying to associate the races of Middle Earth with various gay iconography. So, like, clearly elves are twinks. We all agree that. And dwarves are bears. But then what are hobbits? I maintain that hobbits are otters, not necessarily in physicality, but in energy. And my friends were insisting that dwarves are West Coast bears and hobbits are East Coast bears. So,
oh, wow.
But this is a conversation we would not have had because it's not worth having that conversation like in anything but a text chain while you're watching a movie. So yes, virtual movie going.
I like it. What an interesting idea. Thank you very much, Glenn Weldon. Stephen, how about you? What problem are you solving?
Well, like millions of Americans, I am missing live sports. Missed out on at least much of the NBA season. Missing out on opening day in baseball. And for sports fans, we're in a little bit of an in-between time because there are several sports that are trying to fill the void in some ways that have proven controversial. The NFL is still holding the NFL draft later this month. That has triggered some consternation. WrestleMania, the WWE held its WrestleMania 36, its big year-end wrestling event in an empty arena and had its wrestlers wrestling to silence and, of course, not social distancing. That bothered a lot of people, I think, really understandably. So finding the right balance between having your love of competition fed and having your desire for people to stay safe fed, the options are a little bit more limited. I know a lot of sports fans who are watching games on ESPN Classic, who are watching old, like, classic baseball and football and basketball games that way. That's a lovely way to go about it. But I like having new and surprising outcomes. One way that I scratch my sports I shouldn't say sports itch. That sounds like it's something else entirely. One way I have my need for sports fed is watching reality TV competitions. If you go to CBS All Access, you can get 40 seasons of Survivor. It's a lot like sports, but with complaining. Finally, if you like NASCAR and IndyCar and several racing-oriented sports have started having NASCAR drivers participate in televised video game racing called iRacing. NASCAR has a league like this. IndyCar has a league like this. Over this past weekend, they had NASCAR virtual racing. Rita Wilson sang the national anthem from her home. And Bubba Wallace, a famous NASCAR driver, rage quit a televised video game, prompting enormous amounts of derision on Twitter.
Been there.
So, yeah, I mean, we've all been there. And so anyway, those are some of the ways that I'm at least getting around having to miss sports.
All right. Thank you very much, Stephen Thompson. What I decided to go with was the kind of entertainment where part of the reason why it's fun is that you hang out with friends while going to it, right? Even if it's not that good, even a so-so music show or comedy show can be great fun if you're with people that you enjoy hanging out with. So last week, as we taped this, I said yes to something I would normally say no to, which is Zoom pub trivia. The reason I would normally say no to this is that it was with a bunch of people, aside from the friend who invited me, a bunch of people that I didn't know. I am what I call a loud shy, meaning I talk a lot and enthusiastically, but I'm actually extremely nervous about meeting people that I don't know. But I was very happy that I took this opportunity to say yes to this. It's all done on Zoom. It's very complicated. They do it with breakout rooms. It's just a thing I was invited to. So unfortunately, I can't direct you to this particular one. But I encourage you to find something like trivia or something that you can do that involves just hanging out with different people than are in your house. And I was still a loud shy, I think, even on Zoom, but it was really fun. So that was my first pick. Glenn, what's your second pick?
Well, do you guys remember what it was like to not think? To just find yourself after like 5 minutes just realizing, oh, I haven't thought about a thing. I have just been daydreaming or whatever. Because now, of course, moments when you let your attention wander, it tends to wander to some very dark places. And the things that we talk about on the show, movies, books, TV, music, what they do is they fill that void with content. They don't let you kind of exist in the nothingness. I have found a lo-fi way to think about precisely nothing in an all-consuming manner for hours and hours at a time. When we first got this cabin, I bought a 1,000-piece Batman jigsaw puzzle as a joke, as a gag. Because, like, cabin, puzzle, horse, carriage. Also, you know, the joke was like, imagine us ever getting bored enough to do this puzzle. That Rubicon has been crossed. And anybody who knits or embroiders, or imagine, Linda, Animal Crossing, it's the same thing. You are, for hours at a time, you have lowered yourself to your lower brain functions. Pattern recognition, colors, shapes. That's what it's entirely about. And that feeling when a piece that has been missing for a long time finally fits so securely, so perfectly into space, it is so satisfying. I know the feeling that's going to come when it's finally finished is going to be worth it. So yeah, I think I might be a jigsaw puzzle guy.
Yeah, I mean, I think that you might be slightly underselling the sophistication of Animal Crossing. potentially. I think that's great and good pick. Stephen, what is your second pick?
Well, first of all, I think Glenn is appropriately selling the joy of a good puzzle. My family has been doing one designated wholesome activity every evening, and we have already put together a puzzle during this time of social isolation. So we love a good puzzle. But my second pick actually is for people who are missing the experience of live concerts. And the first things I want to shout out are a couple of resources that we've put together at NPR Music. My colleague Lars Gottrich has put together an ever-updating page called A List of Live Virtual Concerts to Watch During the Coronavirus Shutdown. It's a snappy title. And that's an opportunity to just find listings and links for different artists who are doing living room concerts, home concerts, garage concerts, performing in isolation. There have been some really beautiful shows that are, you know, hopefully being archived online. Speaking of being archived online, at NPR Music, we're doing Tiny Desk Home Concerts, where we're trying to replicate the Tiny Desk Concerts experience from artists' living rooms. We just had a gorgeous one go up over the weekend with Ben Gibbard, paying paying tribute to Adam Schlesinger that I highly recommend. We had Michael McDonald, Tank Ball from Tank and the Bangas.
That one's awesome.
Just such, as joyful and wonderful as you would expect from that particular artist. So we've been trying to kind of replicate the feel of that series. What you're missing with those shows, though, unfortunately, that I don't think anyone has really found a way around, is missing the real communal experience of just hearing a crowd, of feeling a crowd, of feeling applause. And I think that's something that I don't think we've quite worked out as we're all muddling through this time in our lives. But I wanted to call out one other experience that I enjoyed over the weekend. I went for a walk around my neighborhood with my partner, Katie, and we hear a little bit of clapping around a corner. And we're like, clapping? That's a sound we haven't heard in a few weeks. And just like went down the corner, and a few of our neighbors had gathered, a little family had gathered in their front yard with an acoustic guitar, a ukulele, and like a little bit of sheet music. And their neighbors had gathered, you know, 10, 15 feet apart on the other side of the street and were just sitting on the grass. And so Katie and I took a little seat on the curb and watched this family perform a little concert. So if you can, if you have musical neighbors, if you're on like a neighborhood listserv, pinging that group and finding out when people are gathering and doing these little front porch things that their neighbors can watch from a distance, that was like medicine to me.
Oh, that's very nice. That sounds very good. And I do envy you the front lawn concert because that sounds super awesome. My second pick is, you know, the problem that I identified is that although there are a lot of performances being done that are sort of people put a lot of work into them and they're sort of arranged and it's a musical performance or whatever, what I was missing was serendipity, the serendipity of odd things happening when you're around people that you don't know. So I've really appreciated, this is a somewhat controversial pick because I think already there are people who have grown tired of this, but it's the sort of Instagram Live kind of hop on there and just mess around, and they're not all good. But I want to shout out two in particular that I have enjoyed. One is the friend of the show, John Hodgman, who has been doing the show Get Your Pets, where he goes most weekdays, goes for like an hour and a half or 2 hours and just like has people pop in on Instagram Live and show him their pets. And they chat for a little bit about, you know, where'd you get your pet and what do you do and all that stuff. And John's just a really terrific host and just kind of raconteur or whatever you want to say. He's just a really fun person to hang out with virtually. So that's one. The other one, Mike Birbiglia has been doing a series called Tip Your Waitstaff, where he gets together with different comedians and they kind of try out new jokes together on Instagram Live. And it's a fundraiser for the bar staff and wait staff and everybody who works at various comedy clubs and clubs where comedy happens. And they have ones that are for clubs in a bunch of different cities. There's a fundraiser that they link to for the Bell House in Brooklyn, where we've done shows ourselves. So you can check that. You can find them both on Instagram, Mike Birbiglia and John Hodgman. And there's a real, the idea that it is kind of slack is something that not everybody can make something good out of. But if you have the right person, it gives you a little bit of that feeling of like what it's like to go out when you just might bump into people. That is something I have really appreciated. So tell us what you are doing to make it through this period of social isolation. You can find us on Facebook at facebook.com/PCHH. You can tweet us at PCHH. When we come back, it's going to be time to talk about what's making us happy this week. So come right back.
This message comes from NPR sponsor BetterHelp, the online counseling service dedicated to connecting you with a licensed counselor to help you overcome whatever stands in the way of your happiness. Fill out a questionnaire and get matched with a professional tailored to your needs. And if you aren't satisfied with your counselor, you can request a new one at any time, free of charge. Visit BetterHelp.com/happyhour to get 10% off your first month. Get the help you deserve with BetterHelp.
Welcome back to Pop Culture Happy Hour. It's time for our favorite segment of this week and every week. What's making us happy this week? Stephen Thompson, what's making you happy this week?
I'd imagine that by the time this episode drops, this will have made many, many, many of our listeners happy. But just in case it hasn't or they haven't heard about it, I need to call out John Krasinski and Emily Blunt's web show, Some Good News, that they've been putting together for the last couple weeks. It's a short, cute little, very homemade talk show. They've patched in guests from the outside world. And on the episode that dropped overnight Sunday night, about halfway through the episode, John Krasinski calls up a tweet about how this 9-year-old girl named Aubrey was really looking forward to seeing Hamilton on Broadway, and she wasn't able to do so. And so John Krasinski gets Aubrey on the screen and tells her, hey, when this is all over, we're going to fly you to New York so you can see Hamilton on Broadway. You're not actually going to miss seeing Hamilton on Broadway, but we're going to do you one better because Emily Blunt starred in Mary Poppins Returns with Lin-Manuel Miranda. And so they get Lin-Manuel Miranda to pop up and say hi to Aubrey. And you see Aubrey kind of losing her mind in slow motion. And then, of course, if you haven't seen this video, what you see next is absolute magic. They call up the entire original cast of Hamilton to sing the opening song from Hamilton, Alexander Hamilton,
on Zoom from their various homes.
Impeccably synchronized for maximum musicality and joy. And it is just a total, utter delight to see. It's just a delight to see all those faces. It's a delight to watch a 9-year-old lose her mind. And it's a delight to see John Krasinski and Emily Blunt, two enormously likable people, getting to be enormously likable for the world. So some good news on YouTube.
Thank you very much, Stephen Thompson. Glenn Weldon, what is making you happy this week?
Quibi launched this week, and, you know, I'm not saying you should get it. It's yet another streaming service, and, of course, it doles out its episodes in, like, 7 to 10 minute chunks. I can tell you, with authority, that my two favorite things on it are, one, a game show called Game Show, G-A-Y-M-E, which is basically two straight comedians compete to be crowned honorarily gay by this panel of queer and queer-adjacent judges. It's funny, the casting is spot on because all of these people know each other very well. They're all from the New York and LA comedy scenes. It shouldn't work, but it does. And the single dumbest thing on Quibi is also one of the most fun. It's called Dish Mantled. And in it, two chefs stand in a kind of a plastic booth, and then a mystery entree is fired into their faces by six cannons. And they must then, because they're blindfolded at the time, they must then taste whatever exploded on them and then recreate it in 30 minutes. And so they cut down the episodes down to, like, you know, 7 to 10 minutes. And it is so stupid. They do all this while Titus Burgess yells at them because he's the host. Again, it's not going to make your day. It's just going to be a weird thing that gets dropped into your lap once a day. Check it out if you have Quibi, if you decide to do it. If you don't, you're not missing much. Just going to say.
All right. Thank you very much, Glenn Weldon. So what is making me happy this week? If you want to talk about filling the void, I've been filling the void of the unplayed Tokyo Olympic Games by playing Mario and Sonic at the Olympic Games. The wonderful thing about this is there is essentially no way to know before I start playing some event whether I will be A, mysteriously perfect at it, or B, mysteriously unable to get more than 0 points. The fencing event, it's like a fighting game, so you just hit all the buttons, and sometimes you can win at fencing. The gymnastics event, I persistently get 0 points. Like, through several rounds, I get 0 points. And when I posted a video of myself playing this on Twitter, somebody said, the thing about that game is I always get 0 points. And that is what is making me happy this week. Before we go, we wanted to take a moment to remember two more legendary musicians we've lost recently. First, we want to talk about singer-songwriter John Prine. He died from complications related to COVID-19. Stephen, you're a John Prine fan. I know you wanted to speak to this a little bit.
Yeah, John Prine had an amazing career. His first album came out in 1971, and he's been active until very, very recently, putting out these wonderful kind of plain-spoken but brilliant folk songs. I mean, I don't think it's unreasonable to put him on the Mount Rushmore of songwriters alongside Bob Dylan. He made so much amazing music in this really, really long and storied career. And you look at, like, his very first album, his self-titled album from 1971, and you just have this string of songs that feel like standards, feel like classics. Angel from Montgomery, Spanish Pipe Dream, Hello in There, Sam Stone. These beautiful, really direct, really plain-spoken, really deeply empathetic songs. He was an absolute master, but a very humble one, a very approachable one, and one who, you know, we've been hearing all week stories from people who were inspired by him, who were mentored by him. He was a wonderful musician, and it's terrible to lose him.
Yeah, let's hear a little bit of Sam Stone.
There's a hole in daddy's arm where all the money goes. Jesus Christ died for nothing, I suppose. Little pitchers have big ears, don't stop to count the years. Sweet songs never last too long on broken radios.
We also want to acknowledge the death last week of singer-songwriter Bill Withers. His death came in a rush of COVID-19-related losses, but Withers actually died due to heart complications. Stephen, talk to me a little bit more about Bill Withers.
Well, Bill Withers, like John Prine, put out his first album in 1971, but then went on to have a very, very different career. Where John Prine was putting out music as recently as 2018, Bill Withers stopped cold in 1985, having put together songs, boy, you talk about standards. I mean, my God, Lovely Day, Ain't No Sunshine, Lean On Me, Just the Two of Us, Grandma's Hands. These are absolutely classic songs. And he stopped recording in 1985. He was very disgruntled with the music business and really mostly disappeared. There's a documentary about him that came out a few years back. He continued to be around, but really stopped making music. But the music that he did release is just perfection. I was, you know, going through, you know, listening to his classic songs, like which song should we play to close out this show? And you get 1 second into Ain't No Sunshine before you're completely captivated by that voice.
Ain't no sunshine when she's gone. It's not warm when she's away. Ain't no sunshine when she's gone. And she's always gone too long. Anytime she goes away.
All right. Well, that brings us to the end of our show. You can find all of us on Twitter. You can find me at Linda Holmes. You can find Stephen at I Dislike Stephen. You can find Glenn at G.H. Weldon. You can find our producer Jessica Reedy at Jessica_Reedy and our producer Mike Katziff at Mike Katziff, K-A-T-Z-I-F. Thanks to both of you for being here.
Thank you.
Thank you.
And thanks for listening to Pop Culture Happy Hour from NPR. If you have a second and you're so inclined, please subscribe to our newsletter. It's over at npr.org/popculturenewsletter. We will see you all back here next Wednesday when we're going to talk about Survivor.
In Cherokee Nation, a feud has been simmering for more than 180 years.
I always joke that the Ridges and the Rosses were like the Montagues and the Capulets. We've been fighting for so long that people don't really know why, but in Cherokee, we know why.
That's next week on Code Switch from NPR.